somebody added me to a Google Calendar, and so it always reminds me of their things.
It has to be Potsy, right?
No, it's your brother-in-law, Brad.
What?
Okay, when I first started doing premarital counseling for Brad and Abby,
this has been going on for two. You mean you've been sitting through this?
Listen,
for 6 years.
I haven't. Like, I can't get disconnected from Brad's calendar. Like, he.
I have zero sympathy for you right now. It's been 6 years.
Is that how long they've been married?
2014.
This is what I'm saying.
October 11, 2014.
When we first started doing premarital counseling, I was like, when are we going to meet next? And they were like, okay, well, let's look at our different schedules. And Brad was like, let me just send you my schedule. And I was like, what? And he like sent me his work schedule. And so like it got added to my Google Calendar and like... had like Brad's
schedule.
Gotta
be a way out of this.
I know. That's what I was like. I can't figure this out.
We need someone who knows things to tell us things.
Yeah, and then there was a community group thing, and I think that Potsy did create that he added me to, and it like sends me 3 emails every Sunday morning. This community group, and this community group are meeting, and I'm like, stop sending me that.
We all know they meet on Sundays. I have 1,820 unread emails right now.
I don't know how you sleep at night.
The best way to get in touch with me is not with email. I have like...
What is the best way to get in touch with you?
Who knows? Call me. I'll answer most of the time. I mean, I don't know what it is right now. I'm on edge. I'm just like, my hackles are up right now. Which I had a long conversation once with someone about how that word is hackle and not heckle.
Yeah, it's hackle.
It's not my heckles are up. It's hackles are up.
No,
it's heckle. Part of a dog.
Yeah,
the fur on the back of their neck.
That's exactly.
Anyways,
right. You were right in that conversation.
Yeah, so I just have a theory that like, which this isn't true at all. It's just my excuse. I think I've had a cell phone for long enough. I'm thankful for my phone, but I'm like,
you done with it?
No.
It's over now.
I have to have it.
Yeah.
In order to have a life in 2020.
You think you'll ever just go off the grid, like just full Ron Swanson, like destroy the phone and everything?
Maybe.
You like Twitter, though.
I like Twitter.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Is Twitter direct message the best way to get in touch with you?
No. It's definitely not GroupMe. It's nothing. It's no group text. So don't ever like.
Or individual text.
That's not true. I'm a better. Well, let's take a look. 24 unread text.
I consider myself fortunate that I'm one of the people that you text back. It still takes a while, but like, if I'm like random person that Thomas is friends with, it must take 3 weeks to get a message back from you.
It's funny, my college degree is in the art of communication. The best way to get in touch with me is to sit down with me and have a meal. How to set that up, I don't know.
I was going
to
say.
Probably a Google Calendar invite, right?
If they just
full circle. We've come full circle, folks. We've done it. Oh,
Do you think your brother-in-law Brad listens to this podcast?
No.
No, so
I don't think my family knows it exists. Which I'm thankful for. I've said some things that I probably shouldn't have said on here. This is really cheesy.
I'm ready. I like this about you. I like the things about you that are just a little bit over the line of cheese.
Well, this is like Gorgonzola blue cheese.
Let's dive off the dive.
But I also think it's sweet. And
I'm ready.
My dad had a really big heart attack in March, right?
Yes.
And like later you hear things that are like, oh, he was a lot closer to dying than we let you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's
the
like
same thing happened with me.
Yeah. It was like, yeah. Oh,
it's we like were a way we were, closer call than they reported to me.
We were close there, you know, and I was in another state. I didn't see him in the process of this.
Yeah.
And I've realized this later. Like, it's one of those things where you think, okay, this is going to be a life-altering event. Like, your relationship is only going to be amazing from here on, which is a lie.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
That's not the way that works.
Right. But it took me a while to realize that. So I've started doing this thing where I, like, and for some reason I'm only doing it with him, and I honestly think it's a thing that, I don't know if you should think like this, but my pastor did say today, you should ask yourself, what if this is my last day?
That's a helpful thought.
Right. So, I've been doing this thing where if I leave a situation with him, I'll think, do you want that to be your last memory with him?
Wow.
Which is, maybe it's really cheesy. And the last couple have been really sweet.
Are you like about to leave the room and you double back? And
no, not like same, moment? But like, I see my parents, we live 11 minutes from each other, maybe.
Right.
I see them every other week, probably. Just do. And
I thought you had like a weekly dinner.
With what moments of time?
Right.
Yes, ideally. But I did, like, the last two have been really sweet. Like, we watched Birds together for like an hour last Saturday, which was like my dad's favorite thing. Like, we connected a Bluetooth speaker and like stuck it on the screen window. And like, I have this bird call app that can, it'll play specific calls from birds. And he was like, all right, see if you can get this one to come in.
You're catfishing birds.
Mm-hmm. We're just like, we're like hiding behind a curtain watching these birds come to all his feeders.
It's like cyber terrorism for birds.
There's a group of people started in Memphis who believe birds aren't real, by the way.
What?
They believe the government got rid of them and replaced them with robots to keep an eye on you at all times.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I can't wait to talk to my friend who's a conspiracy theorist about this.
It's a Twitter account, like, birds aren't real. I mean, it has like hundreds of thousands of followers.
Birds aren't real?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah. Every once in a while you'll see a bumper sticker in Knoxville and you're like, huh.
Of all the people that we like dearly love, who do you think would buy into that?
Potsy.
Do you think Austin White would buy into it?
No, I don't think he would.
He thinks birds are real.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. So you guys were watching birds.
We were watching birds. It was really fun. And then yesterday, my dad, Maddie, and I were watching Tennessee lose to Kansas.
Yes.
Cool. It was a good game. And it was funny. Abby gave me a birthday present. It was a really sweet birthday present. And then my dad was like,
January 25th.
My dad was like, oh crap. Like, we had to leave. We had to be somewhere for a double date. And he was like, oh crap, I wanted to show you something. Come with me. And I was like, oh no. He wanted to play me something. Which, like, for some reason, my hackles got up. And twice I've used that phrase. You would think it's like a word sneak type of thing that like Jimmy Fallon plays, but it's not.
Yeah.
And for some reason I thought, oh, it's going to be some like 80s Christian acoustic song. Like Larry Norman or something, which he has before. Like, hey, listen to this. I think you'd like this album. And which is just not my thing, but it was when I was a kid. And instead he's like, come to my car. You got to listen to this. And I was like, oh no. And he like played this tape of, and you hear this little voice say, okay, daddy, can I start now?
Stop.
And I was like,
I'm not ready for this.
I was like, was that me? And I was singing, it was an Aladdin song. And
which one?
One jump in front of the bread line.
One skip.
Yeah. And like,
I think I'll take a stroll around the block.
I was just singing the whole thing. And then you'd hear, daddy, I'm done. Because my dad was like, you'd sit at the piano in our old house and you'd have the microphone and you'd want me to set it up, but then you'd make me leave the room. And and then, so I'd leave the room and you would say, I'm done. And I'd come back and I'd pause it for you. I did that song. I did this, like, it was like, shut the door to keep out the devil. Devil. Yeah. But I made up the words. Like, I didn't know what I was saying. It was like, shump de dump to keep out the devil. But I was three, you know, it was like, it was that and the theme from the Monkees.
Oh yeah.
Here we come.
Walking down the street.
But I like selectively knew words. And it was just like a 10-minute tape. And
were you in your feels? Like, was it?
Yeah. Maddie started crying.
Wow.
And when we were walking away, I saw my dad wipe a tear from his face. It was really, he said, I was driving down the street listening to this the other day. And it was just like, I got in the car and I was like, that was a good one. If that was it.
Yeah. If that was your last one, that was a good one.
Yeah. It was really sweet.
Welcome
and he couldn't get the tape to work and he was getting so, but he wouldn't tell me what it was. And I was like, oh no, what is this going to be? And then I hear that little voice and I was like, wow, that was me. It was so bizarre.
Just baby T.
Because you see like old home videos of yourself. And you're like, yeah, that's me. But when you just hear a voice, it was like,
it is.
I've never
odd.
Really heard that before.
Yeah, it's odd.
That was
ancient
really,
and new.
Yeah, this that wasn't a really funny cold opening. Sorry.
This is our sweet little tender podcast about the scriptures. and apparently tender moments from our lives as well. You want to start us tonight?
Yeah, I will.
Carry on, dude.
This is a bizarre little bit of scripture, and I don't think that it's bizarre. I think it's just kind of hard to wrap your mind around, and okay. It's really bold, and it's something I'm not very good at right now, specifically.
I like that.
Like, this is weird.
Let's aim at something.
Yeah. This is the day that I was hanging out with Maddie earlier, and I was watching golf, and I hear, I'm not really paying attention. I'm like dozing in and out of sleep, and I hear the announcer say, "We just got word that Kobe Bryant was in a helicopter that crashed."
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what? Like, I've never been like, I haven't been emotionally affected by like a celebrity death. And it scared the crap out of me for some reason. Like, it terrified. It shook me. Like, I was, like, the rest of the day, Maddie's kind of been like, "You okay?"
He's like my age.
He's your age. He's been in my life my entire life, which is, he's never met me, obviously. I never met him. And like, it just like shook me. And like, I've had this weird thing, like...
And his 13-year-old daughter.
Yeah, it's really sad. And I've had this weird thing. This is, like, so embarrassing to admit. It's so weird, but, like, since I've gotten engaged, I've been, like, heightened to the idea of, like, death for some reason. I think I've just been terrified that, like, I'm not going to get there.
Before that, it's like, look, if I die, I just go straight to Jesus.
I just die.
Know? Yeah, but now it's like, now your life is... I mean, your life is his, but your life is also hers now, and you've promised it to somebody, and so it's just different. Every, all of that is different.
Right. I've never been like a worrier about things like that, and like tonight, Maddie left to go back to she's going back to Cookville early in the morning, and I'm like, I've never been nervous about that before, and now, for some reason, it just shook me. But anyways, this is from Philippians chapter 1, and this is Paul in prison, which is super cool. But yeah. It says, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." It was funny. I read this morning in community group, and it was just so like, in the moment, you're just kind of like, yeah, duh. Like, Paul's right, of course. Like, and then you like take a step away by yourself, and you're kind of like, it's one of those moments where like, you like lean your arm against the wall and you're like breathing heavy, like you've been chased by somebody. It's like, wow, do I feel that way? And like, I think of course I do. Like,
on one level.
Yeah. Sure.
Academically.
Like a psychologist would say, like on the left side of your brain you do, on the right side, I don't know, whatever. That's not true, but I feel that way a little bit. I was shaken by that. I was like, and that and the combination of what happened today, all this happened the same day. And that has been ringing in my head along with the Kobe Bryant thing. And it's just been like, wow, like, and not to be crazy or anything, but like, we're seconds away from at any point of being face to face with Jesus, you know, like, and in my, when I say that right there, I smile. I'm like, I'm seconds away at any point from being face to face with Jesus. And there's nothing my soul longs for more. There's nothing my heart longs for more than that. And then you think about it and you're like, I'm seconds away from being face to face with Jesus. And I don't know what has happened to me as I've gotten older. And I don't know if I'm thinking about this wrong. I don't know. I'm happy to be told that I am. I'm happy for someone to say, to rebuke me. I was reading that in Proverbs this morning. You know, it's a good thing to be rebuked by somebody. It's big time. You should want it a little bit. But it has made me like, I just feel urgent all the time now. I just feel like, we're so close at any time. And there's a ton of people who don't know Jesus.
Right. Well, I was thinking about that when you were first describing this. I was in a hospital this past week with a good friend of ours who just has been having some really difficult health things. And I mean, and a couple of times it's been kind of touch and go, like, is this it? Mm-hmm. And this particular friend, we've had that question on and off for years of like, oh my gosh, is this it? Is this the last time I'm going to see you before I see you in heaven? And I was praying with him, and before I prayed with him, I was holding his hand, and I would just like, I just had this moment where I realized like, there's something I want to say to you. Like, I didn't think it was going to be the last time I saw him, but it was kind of one of those, hey, in case this is the last time I see you, until we're there together, like, I want you to know. And I could say this truthfully about this brother. Mm-hmm. I was like, I have never had one moment with you where you weren't laughing at things other people are afraid of, mm-hmm. and filled with joy when other people are freaking out. Mm-hmm. And like, what a testimony that you have had in my life, mm-hmm. of like, you know, it's like, I don't know if this is the last time I'm going to see you, but like, you have been amazing in my life, and I'm so thankful for your faith. It's like, you just have this crazy, beautiful faith, you know? And I was thinking about that when you were reading those verses, just him and what he's going through and who he's been in my life, this one particular dude. But I was also thinking of the urgency of like, man, at any moment we could be face to face to Jesus with Jesus. And I'm like, that's because Jesus has won my heart. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what about all the people who still don't know him yet? And it's like, oh my gosh, let's get to work. Mm-hmm. You know, that did that same thing in me.
Yeah. And I like, I'm good at talking about it. I like to think I'm okay at putting that into action, that feeling. And I don't ever want to get past it. You know, like, it's been hard being in a job where, you know, 45, 50 hours of my week are spent, like, you know, like, the best parts of my day are spent doing something pretty insignificant, and it's been hard and like discouraging, and I've had a hard time with it, and it's been hard, and it's made me think about this more and more and more. And I'm like, okay, I have less time doing the ministries I love and on, like, you know, that I like, that I give my life away in outside of this. And like, but I have 50 hours a week where I'm with people who a lot of them really, really, really need Jesus. And I don't know. I'm trying to think about this differently as a person who doesn't work at a church any full time anymore, you know, who's working, doing marketing for a convenience store business. It's odd. It's an odd job. And I don't know. It's been a helpful thought to have in this season of life. And yeah, it also makes other things way more insignificant. And I've been thinking about that, and all these things lined up on the Sunday. So if you were excited about getting encouraged and having a lot of laughs, so far it probably hasn't really happened, but that's why we went first.
Well, I do think that a huge part of this is, you know, this is a sobering, dark world, you mm-hmm. know, and there's actually a siren going on past your house right now.
Yeah, all the time. The Life Star flies over my house when it comes here. Like, I know when something's going on at the hospital.
Yeah. And, you know, but it's just like, this is a sobering, dark world. And like, it is an exciting thing that we are going to leave it. And it's also something that raises our urgency. Mm-hmm. This is from Acts chapter 2. And Acts chapter 2, Jesus ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1. And all the people that believed in him, his disciples and his mom and all those women that follow Jesus, they just hit the ground running. They start going crazy. They're just telling everybody about Jesus. And Peter is giving a speech to a bunch of people, and he's talking about Jesus, and he says, he's actually quoting a Psalm of David, Psalm 16, about how, like, where David kind of slips into this prophetic mode where he says, you won't let your Holy One see decay. And he says, we know that David wasn't talking about himself, because you could go visit David's tomb right now. Like, he decayed. and he says, but he was a prophet is in verse 30 of Acts chapter 2. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. And so he's like, when David was writing Psalm 16, he wasn't talking about himself. He was prophesying about the resurrection of Christ. And it's like, Peter's being so bold right now. And then he says this in verse 32, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. And that, man, that was strong. And when I read that this morning, I thought, man, it would be so cool to be one of those people who looked face to face with the risen Jesus, bodily raised from the dead, who saw the, like what the scriptures call, Peter, you know, Paul calls him the firstborn from among the dead, the first one to taste the true full reality of that new life, that new eternal life. And, you know, and there was a part of me when I read this that was like, man, it would be so cool to be one of those who could say like, God has raised Jesus from the dead and I am a witness of the fact. And then I thought, okay, wait a minute. I haven't seen the bodily resurrected Jesus, but like, I'm a witness of the fact. There are things that I cannot explain outside of the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. There are people that I have known that I cannot explain how they are or who they are outside of this fact. Jesus is risen from the dead. There are things that have changed in my own life and in my own heart. Things about like my own affections and passions and everything. Like there are things about me that like me on my own, I would not be this person. I'm not saying I'm there yet, but like there are things about my life that have no explanation outside of this fact. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You know, I look at my friendships, I look at my marriage, I look at my parenting, I look at things that God has done for me, and I'm just like, I haven't stood face to face with the resurrected Jesus, but like I'm a witness of the fact. And then this thing crept in that was like, wait, am I? Like in the sense of like, just like, man, there's still a lot about me and about my life that is not a witness of the fact. Mm-hmm. There's just like not, like there's just a lot about my life that looks like every other life out there. Mm-hmm. And I had there's just a weird thing happened to me where I was like, man, I'm a witness that Jesus is risen from the dead. And then I was like, you know what? I want to be a bolder witness for the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Mm-hmm. Like, and I was thinking about that friend that we were just talking about a minute ago, who's in a hospital right now, and just thought like, there's just things about this dude that are not like anybody else.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude, you are so goofy, mm-hmm. and you're so silly. And like, but like silly in the holiest way. You're silly in a holy way because you just don't take this life too seriously. Hmm. You're aiming at that next one.
Right.
And like in the best way. And so I guess I'm in this kind of dual reality right now of like, man, I am a witness of the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And then and then I'm also like, I want to be a better witness to the fact that Jesus,
sure.
This is not me saying like, I want to be a better Christian this week.
Right.
I don't know. That just is so lame. It's such a turnoff. Like,
right.
But like, I do want my life, my reactions, my attitudes, my joy, my whatever. I want that to be a little bit bolder witness for the fact that this dude who claimed to be God got up out of his grave and he is alive forever and he's alive in me.
Yeah, I always love it when you see when I meet someone or I have a conversation who believes this really hard.
Yeah.
You know. It's just the best, I think. I love it when I'm around people who are like this friend we're talking about who's in the hospital, and you know, there's various people in my life, you being one of them, and you know, a lot of people who I'm like, who it's like it makes me think like, okay, I'm not there yet. And not in a bad way. Like, not like...
Yeah, not like, I'm going to shame myself for
this. Yeah, I'm just like, I can't wait till I'm there, and I want to work really hard to get there, however that means. And
You know what's neat though, and I'm cutting across you, and I don't.
You should.
I don't mean that, but
you
like,
should cut across me.
One of the cool things about like our church, for instance, or just the body of Christ in general, a community of believers in Jesus, mm-hmm. is that like there are places where like there are places in your life that the Lord has worked on, and He's made you like. Like in this place in your life, you are such a strong witness that Jesus is risen from the dead.
Mm.
In this woman's life over here, like you look at this part of her personality or her attitude or something like that. And like, man, you are just a witness that Jesus is risen from the dead. And then you look at this dude over here and it's like, or this kid and it's like, man, you're a witness. Like all of us individually, if you look at me as an individual, you're going to see such a mixed bag. And then you look at a community of believers at their best, like just the church or the body of Christ. And it's like, we're totally like in different places, different little reflections where it's like the body of Christ is a living example of, and witness of the fact that Jesus risen. Like we round each other out.
Yeah.
Like Rocky says, like, I got gaps. You got gaps. We fill gaps.
Great. D-Rod just teared up.
That's because D-Rod knows what's up.
Yeah. I just realized there's been multiple times this episode where I've chewed my gum inches from the mic. So I'm so sorry.
There's so much breathing in the mics when I'm editing the episode.
I know. I'm not very good at it. I try to catch myself, but it's usually because, like, when you see me point my mic away, it's because I have realized, oh, crap, I've been breathing. Yeah.
It's like Darth Vader over there.
There should be a character on this show called Hey Arnold who would just show up in the alley, just like, and then Helga would punch him. You don't remember that character?
No.
I can't remember his name. If someone could tell me his name,
really, he would just,
I think his name was like Wheezy or something. Like it was like something like that. I don't know. Anywho, this wasn't our like most joyful episode.
You know what though? We showed up.
Yeah, I'm like down. I'm like down a peg right now.
Yeah.
That's my girl.
He's just gonna start listing things.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Shoot.
But you know what? To live is Christ and to die is gain.
That's right. Someone read that today on our podcast.
That's right. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. Today's episode has been brought to you by a long lost tape of Thomas's 3-year-old self.
Yeah.
Singing One Jump from the soundtrack.
It was really sweet. I said the line where there's, he goes into that, there's a group of women.
Yeah. Oh, it's that Aladdin.
He's a tasty treat or something like that.
I blame parents, except he hasn't got them. You know, there's that whole thing.
I said all that.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
still, I think he's rather tasty.
Yeah. I said that. Yeah. I was like, sheesh. Lynn and Becky letting things slide like somewhere. Yeah, that was just,
that was a Disney movie.
I know, but that's like, that's bold.
Scandaloso.
Yeah. Anywho, I'm Thomas. Thanks for listening, stopping by.
And I'm Lee. This has been HNNU.
Under his wings I am safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am his child. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under his wings, what a refuge from sorrow, how the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no wings, under his Safely abide forever.